We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order at 8:45 on the clock for Wednesday, November 4th. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Full house. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held October 21st, 2020. Approve all claims through November 4th, 2020 in the amount of $614,533.36, except for number 20011-0076. To RL Team and Construction in the amount of $1,382.71 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1170 to Diller Telephone. They will be plowing and boring in approximately 3.5 miles of 48-count fiber, 24-count, and 2-count cable. They will bore 3-foot diameter, 5 to 10 foot below all creeks, road crossings, and culverts. Cable will be encased in 1 1/4 inch smooth wall pipe and placed 24 foot from the center of the road in the bottom of the grader ditch. And vaults will be placed along the 33 foot right of way. Located in the northeast, northwest, quarter section 18, southwest, northwest, quarter section 7, southwest, quarter section 6, township 3 north, range 6 east, Riverside, and northeast, northwest, quarter section 13, southeast, quarter section 1, township 3, range, I'm sorry, township 3 north, range 5 east, Lincoln. Approve utility permit number 1171 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. They will be plowing and boring 2-inch diameter, 5 foot deep, and 100 foot long below intersection of Southwest 45th Road and West Linden Road, and plowing approximately 1,125 feet of new cable, 5 feet below bottom of North Grader Ditch and along West Linden Road to provide service to 5327 West Linden Road, located in the southeast quarter section 19, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside. Approve declaring canine equipment and canine dog buster along with 2013 Dodge Ram pickup as surplus. Approve memorandum of understanding with Saline County to transfer ownership of all canine equipment along with canine dog buster to Saline County. Approve declaring various office equipment items, post drivers, 1985 Trail King Lowboy trailer, 1970 International 2544 tractor, Davy air compressor with John Deere 3L79 engine and radiator from 2008 Sterling dump truck as surplus and advertise on Purple Wave Auction. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of October 2020. Mr. Juergens.
I would like to approve consent agenda except poll number 8 for discussion.
Do we have a second? Going once?
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Juergens, second by Hill, to approve the consent agenda, except number 8. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Number 8, approve memorandum of understanding with Saline County to transfer ownership of all canine equipment along with canine dog buster to Saline County. Mr. Juergens?
What was the amount, dollar amount? Or was there one?
Yeah, basically, it's the memorandum of understanding will be that the dog will still be available for use anytime Gage County needs it. If not Buster, then another dog that they have. So that's, in essence, what the agreement is. They get the ownership and responsibility of having the dog and the trainer or the certified staff. We get to use it.
There was no dollar
not on this stuff here that's attached to that agreement. Now, the pickup is a separate issue. We'll bring that up at a later date.
We didn't just give them the pickup then?
Well, the pickup is going to have a dollar amount on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is trading mustering equipment for services, basically.
Yep. Basically, we'll have the services of Buster without the responsibility of somebody taking care of Buster and, you know, the day-to-day handling and the training.
I remember the last time this discussion was probably 2 years ago. Buster was only used approximately 3 or 4 times during that time frame that we owned him. I might be incorrect on that now, but that's what memory has. So,
Roger would have a better idea on that than...
Well, I'm just going by what I remember.
And there's a good possibility we'll have even more use now than we had before. I mean, Saline County, they have 2, right? 2 canines?
Yeah, this will be
so
awesome. Yeah.
They're will both be available. Second.
Any additional discussion? I'd ask for a motion and a second to approve item 8.
I'll move to approve number 8.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Byers. Any additional discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 20110076 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $1,382.71. This brings the total amount of claims approved through November 3rd, 2020 to $615,916.07. This is a company I work for.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Dorn. Discussion. Please vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights.
Dave.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Welcome, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. During our committee reports, I did show the committee. We just came up with kind of a simple plan for the evidence building, which would mainly be replacing 220 feet of sidewalk, 7 feet wide, along 6th Street. And the city will tear out those 2 approaches on the northwest corner and replace the curb and gutter at those areas. And then it would be approximately 1,100 square feet of concrete to fill in the parking areas where when they tore out the gas pumps, there's still some voids in there, so there would be some repair work. So mainly it'd be to save and repair the concrete along the east edge of the front of the evidence building, cut out a piece for a green space, and then to take when we close that alley and create some green space at the end of the alley, have the sprinkler system from the detention center. There's a valve box right there. Just run it further north, and it could sprinkle the end of the alley, and that there's going to be a corner area up there of some green space also. So, and I think we need to come up with specifications on that, was the comment, I believe, to put out for bid. So we'll work on that. And I do have a drawing. I don't know if anybody wanted to see the drawing of it. And I'll move on to...
Is that all the scale?
It is not. It is not. There are some measurements on my main one, but I did not draw it to scale.
Nope, I think that'll work, Dave. Thank you.
Okay. We had a holiday lights meeting last Wednesday. Sean Van Lanningham came yesterday and put the lights on the trees, and since it was almost 80 degrees, we decided to put the wreaths up also. So pretty much it's ready to go. The building looked like it was in good shape. But while we were having the meeting, we did discuss the sorry state of the 2 trees on the west side, and the holiday lights said that they would gladly pay to replace those 2 trees. And then we're going to add two trees to the north side also that they're going to pay for. And they would pay to get electricity out to the north side also so we can light those up. So I'd like to thank the Holiday Lights for doing that, for helping the courthouse look that much better.
They've been very good. Very good.
Yes. That's nice. I'll give you an update on... We put some items on Purple Wave, and Tower and Adams did very well. It brought $5,100 for a 180-foot radio tower. The tower in Wymore brought $825, and the old assessor's pickup truck brought $1,650, and the old phone system we had brought approximately $180 for that. So... I talked to Galen this morning, and he said they would be glad to help load just so they get a heads up a day before or so. So they're going to help load up. So I thought that those items all did pretty good on there. So,
and thank you for getting those listed, Dave, and we'll get them out of the yard.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure Galen's happy to get them off of the out of the yard there. So that's all I had.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance.
You went too fast. It's all equal. Except your property. That's not. Okay. All right.
Get to that fast enough.
Axion Enterprise Incorporated, tasers and supplies, $16,608. Capital City Concepts, LLC, wage and benefit study, $15,000. Duval Ford, sheriff's vehicle, 2024, $36,300. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $32,567.48. Contact Engineered Solutions, Culverts, $41,780. Manili Wagner and Associates, Engineering Consulting, $29,055.46. Rock On Incorporated, Hauling Materials, $11,149.87. The money for the sheriff's vehicle, the 2020 Ford, was pulled from inheritance fund in the amount of $36,300.
All right. Human resources, employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement emergency management. The sheriff is out of town today on business.
Boss is here. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Lisa.
Just to give you a little bit of update on fire calls this last 2 weeks, those have increased. A lot of that has to do with getting furnaces ready, preparing for the winter months. And so commending all the mutual aid that has happened through the last couple of weeks with the explosion fire and also two other fires specifically for single-family dwellings. Moving forward, as we look at communications, Odell has moved towards the Moto Turbo side. They've made that investment in their community, along with purchasing the repeater for that particular site. And Barnston now has committed to start doing that parcel, too. So that's going very well. And as far as the COVID is concerned, just to give you just a brief update, as far as COVID, we still teeter between that 14-day results of between 175 to 200. The results that came into me last night, over the last 2 days of testing, we had 29 positives. Ages that are being identified are still bringing in that younger sector, you know, as long as young as a year and a half on up to 92. So, but we are seeing an increased amount of cases where they're under 15. So
are we still under all our restrictions from the governor and
So nothing has changed as of the last press conference, as I understand. The one thing that the governor did do is give the governing bodies the opportunity to utilize virtual conferencing. You know, he did extend that open meetings to be able to do virtual meeting when necessary. So Unified Command is still meeting weekly. We're looking at possibly adding another meeting date as time goes on, possibly yet this week, as we identify some needs and just more or less just to keep everybody up to speed. Test Nebraska site, I'd like to announce that that is getting moved to the Gage County Fairgrounds. We're securing that site for the help of with the hospital. So the hospital's Test Nebraska sites will all move to the fairgrounds. Logistically, we were waiting just to get confirmation from both boards. It will start Monday. So the times that the hospital would be testing on Mondays through Thursdays, now will be located at the fairgrounds. So they'll be bringing in a tent and then working out of a ticket office there for their site. So the other thing that as we move forward, we are asked as of last night also to start identifying our first responders, identifying those people for the vaccination programs that may, when that first surge of vaccinations come out, identifying a tier one, tier two. So within each department, those that are directly for tier one, that first delivery, which ones need to be first on that list. And then, you know, if it's 5 to 6 weeks later than the tier two. So PPE requests have increased. We're not having problems getting PPE in yet as of date. Everybody's getting between all the businesses when they ask. They're identifying their need. And then usually the truck comes in. It'll come in again today. And so we'll get that distributed out as needed. So and then nursing homes. I just want to chat with you on nursing homes. You know, they're going to be the ones that are going to be mostly challenged, you know, with visitations going into the holiday months. I commend them for coming up with creative ways to, you know, make and identify the need for their residents to connect with their families. I do know one or two of them that have looked at building on a little pods, you know, for them and little buildings to visit in with a wall in between. Not the same as personal touch, but yet still there, especially out of the winter elements. So moving on to 4420, I did on your desk, I gave you a breakdown. I discussed it at committee meetings. It is a breakdown according to all what the townships were allocated for the flood. And it also includes the city of Beatrice, city of Wymore with their sinkhole. And so identifying the payments that are going out from NEMA and the portions that were reimbursed from FEMA. So as far as the zoning side of things, we've had several permits come in. We're just kind of plugging away on those with hope to have most of those wrapped up this week. The commission will not be meeting in the month of November. I do have a couple of staff members that now need to take precautions because of COVID quarantines. And then harvest is just being completed for a couple of our workers too. So we'll be looking, our goal is to meet in December. So we haven't identified that actual date yet.
Back to your disasters too. I really want to point this out again for the press. Total money so far paid to Gage County applicants, including Wymore, Adams Township, City of Beatrice, Blakely Township, Claytonia Township, Elm Township, Philly Township, Gage County EM, Gage County Highway Department, and Glenwood. Goes on Grant Township, Hanover Township, Highland Township, Hooker, Island Grove, Liberty, Logan, Midland, Nemaha, Paddock, Riverside, Rockford, Sicily, and Wymore. So far to date, $858,877, basically $859,000. I want to thank you and the Highway Department again, Becky there, for helping all the players coordinate and put things together to get the things in. We were all nervous about that going in, that there were so many pieces that needed to be coordinated, make sure things got placed in on time with the right people. Thank you very much, Lisa. That was
It was
very
a group
daunting,
effort.
I'm sure.
It was daunting. I think the hardest part was it's the commitment that the townships, you know, and all the governing bodies have to make, number one. They have to commit to doing all the, you know, reporting. But the other thing they were challenged with was the grant, the EMPGs that were assigned to each case got moved around when COVID happened. They got deployed back to their home offices. And so frustrating for townships if they weren't completed because they ended up with two or three different other program managers that had to help identify. And a lot of them were starting over. So I sense there's frustration for sure because a lot of documents were lost. And so they started over again. So they need to be, they're high on the list of a thank you too. So. And that's, I think, it. If you don't have any questions for me, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Chief Deputy, do you have anything for us since the sheriff's gone today?
I do.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I'll make it brief.
Where's your mask?
It's probably yours, I guess. I don't know. So this morning, I'm going to take the liberty, I guess, introduce Paxton Deal to everybody. She started 2 days ago, I think it was. So this would be her, well, third day, I guess, technically. So she comes to us from Wymore. She's fully certified, so we don't have the expense of sending her out to the academy. She graduated, what basic was that?
205th.
And that would have been in, when was your graduation?
August 21st.
So she just graduated, you know, this year from basic. So she is in field training, so we'll get through that. She's already certified, like I said. So we've been putting together equipment from most of it we have on hand, so there will be some expense, but far less than we're lucky to put together quite a bit of stuff what we had yesterday or the other day. So that's on the horizon. We got one in the academy, graduates in December, and then the next one starts in January. So one of them will be has most of their field training already done. So then onto the next one, and then hopefully by that period after the first few months of next year, then we are fully staffed and have everything good to go that way. So that was the primary thing. Lisa and I and some other members of emergency management, you know, with other counties have had some discussions with some interoperability stuff with radio. So that sounds like it's on track for working really good for some extra benefits that really won't cost us very much at all to do or any for some of that. So that part is good. So it's really all I have.
Coverage on your turbos in the county. Do you have that all figured out? Is that all taken care of?
Not quite. Pretty darn close. We've had lots of conversations, you know, in the last couple months, you know, trying to kind of clean up what remains out of that project yet that we have to. A couple areas, you know, that we have a deficit in that we're really trying to, you know, work through that without adding any more expense we really need to, of course. So. A lot of testing, a lot of discussions on that with coverage mapping and stuff. So, you know, it's I'd say we're about 90 to 95% there. So that's should be wrapping up here shortly. So
good deal. Well, Peyton, welcome aboard.
Paxton.
I'm sorry, Paxton. It's, welcome aboard.
We're glad to have you, and I like your mask up there. Your badge up there on your left shoulder. Welcome aboard.
I like Doug's quick comments, I suppose, wherever your mask is.
No more comments. Thank you. Have a great day.
Remember to write that up in his job description.
Road and Bridge. Mr. Hill.
Yes, the dirt crew has finished shouldering the east 4 miles of the Pickerel Blacktop. They're currently shouldering the 5 miles north of Homesville on the Blacktop. The asphalt crew has been milling on the Rockford Road and the Blue Springs River Bridge area and patching those. The bridge crew has been working north of 22 Nemaha, north of 17 Barnston, and a bridge in Logan Township. The bridge over Mud Creek between Blue Springs and Homesville is progressing well. The center spans are set. It looks like it should be open in about 3 weeks. There was a bridge added to the bridge match program for a culvert. That's east of 25 Philly. And we discussed the possibility of an additional mill overlay. Obviously not all of these, but the roads discussed was Blue Springs to Holmesville, 5.5 miles, north of Claytonia, 2 miles, west of Pickerel, 3 miles, and north 19th, 4.5 miles.
Anything else for Road and Bridge?
Well, if you need any help, just get a hold of Nicole out of the extension office. She'll take care of it.
Mr. Lytle.
Not Road and Bridge, but I assume you have an election commissioner's report this morning.
It was late. A lot of ballots.
So.
And your point?
Are these the emergency ballots?
Yeah.
Those are from Georgia.
That's the Georgia and North Carolina boxes.
Yeah. No, we did have problems with our machine last night.
Did you?
Yeah. For some reason, it lost the calibration when we went to do election day. Switched. It would not read those. Would it, guys? It would not read those ballots. Doug and Scott waited patiently for results for quite a while, didn't you? But it took us about an hour and a half to... Between us and ES&S, we had an ES&S guy here, and
don't worry,
we recalibrated it and got it going. So.
There's a few other places that make you look pretty speedy right now, still.
Once we got going, we did pretty good. Yeah.
So, is that the report?
So, that's kind of the report. Yeah.
There are three of us here that have been elected. Okay, yep. There are three of us here.
All right. With that, we'll move on to Trevor Lee, the Engage Executive Director, with our quarterly report. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I did bring a mask, but I dropped it between here and the pickup. I cannot find it.
I have extras.
Used or? No, thanks.
That's a good question to ask.
That's an important question. Well, thank you. Everybody should have the quarterly report in your packet. We won't dive into it too deeply, but I will go through each objective and touch on high-level spots, and then certainly entertain any questions and discussion you have. So on the first discussion on our BRE, our business retention and expansion, last year we did between 40 and 50 business visits. That is part of the City of Beatrice's certification requirement, which is 30 business visits a year. These are going to look a lot different this year with COVID. We're trying to put a plan together how we can do these virtually and still have them be meaningful. It's hard to replace just sitting down and having candid conversations with our employers. We have done a couple this year, official ones, and we've done many sort of unofficial business visits as we work with employers for other projects and gather some of that data just casually as part of the conversation. If you recall the last report, we also did the COVID-19 business impact survey, did two rounds of that, and I think we had around 63 total employers throughout the county. So those kind of fit into that BRE model, but certainly don't replace that. Moving on to objective two, new business attraction. It obviously was a strange time to come down in March and start this job, but things really about 3 months ago started picking up. We started seeing projects from the state, projects from the Community Venture Network, which is a network for smaller projects that we're sort of pay to play, but we get proposals and requests for proposals pretty frequently. You'll see some mismatching numbers in the cover letter versus this page as far as capital investment on projects. That's because at the time the letter was written was after this. Since July, we put in on over $1.2 billion in projects with a B. I know it's a huge number. That's due in large part to two very large projects. The rest, we're looking at projects from $2 million all the way up to $650 million. But I am happy to say we're in the running for several projects. We have a significant impact in Gage County. Projects are coming from the state. Again, with these larger projects, we've been working very closely with the Department of Economic Development. Had the DED director down for a site visit last week, in fact. Their international team, one of these projects is an international project, so we're working closely with the folks on that side of the department, as well as our utility partners. We're working on sites that have multiple natural gas options, so we're working with Black Hills Energy, we're working with Tenasco, we're working with Northern Natural Gas, as well as Tallgrass and the Trailblazers. So and on the power side, we're working pretty closely with NPPD, well, both NPPDs, Nebraska Public Power and Norris. Related to some of these projects, you'll see on that second area, you probably saw in the news a few weeks ago, Engaged using member funds did secure a purchase option on 260 acres in rural Gage County for a potential industrial project that is in the hopper, one of the larger ones we're working on, but also for future projects. There's certain projects that just don't fit in the ground that we have throughout the county, specifically the Gage County Industrial Park, which we have some projects going on up there now that, if successful, will eat up quite a bit of that. So when I came, that was one of the priorities that was laid before me, was to identify some more ground, not to purchase, but to at least have an option on, so we could have a seat at the table, ground with good transportation access, specifically rail. And we found that, so that's given us a seat at a lot of these.
I noticed they're doing tables. A lot more work on the back of the old Storecraft property. What's mm-hmm. going on over there?
The old Storecraft property, Eric might know more about that than I do. I know they're just getting all that concrete cleaned out of there. I know there are some proposals. It's looking to me like it's going to be mixed-use housing or multifamily housing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like, if it's duplexes or apartments, but I know there's some proposals out there that the city's working with, and TIF would be part of that proposal.
Well, I've noticed they've had equipment working back there, and so I didn't know if they're going to get started on that multi-purpose housing.
I think they wanted to get started this fall, but time's clicking. I know it sure looks a lot better when that fence comes down and starts getting mowed, and it looks a lot better now, so it's
yes.
encouraging.
There was actually structure back there yet, Danny. There was a cast-in-place building, and I think they were on their third demolition contractor, and they left. So this last company, they're peeling everything out and trying to crush that concrete.
Okay. I know there's been activity all of a sudden this last week.
Looks much better, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's a lot of concrete. You see those piles. And doesn't
Boy,
look,
is there a lot of concrete.
It doesn't look like the chunk concrete's getting smaller, but it is. On the objective three, the entrepreneurship side, in the last, I'd say, month and a half to 2 months, we've fielded a lot of calls and inquiries related to existing small businesses, 1 to 5 employees, looking at new space, looking at what incentives are available for them, which is encouraging. We haven't got a lot of calls about new business startups, a couple, but we have a lot of businesses throughout the county that are looking at other buildings to add employees, so that's really encouraging. One, for their business to grow and add employees. Two, to acquire and fix up a potentially dilapidated building somewhere in the county. And then three, to free up another building for some of the startups. So that's been really encouraging, and I hope that continues. On the fourth objective, people attraction, skilled workforce availability. As you recall, potentially, you know, October is Manufacturing Month. You see proclamations from the governor in our communities. Normally, we engage with schools in the county and do a manufacturing day, get these kids in front of our manufacturers. That was just not possible this year with COVID-19. We looked at some virtual options. Did not get a lot of interest from the schools, right or wrong. They've got their own full plate to deal with. So what Aaron and I have been working on is a video series focusing on our manufacturers, working with Digital Sky Media out of Lincoln to really put together some high-quality videos of our local or area manufacturers, as well as skilled trades, you know, the contractors, somehow getting that in front of the kids and also getting it in front of the parents. And then thirdly, providing a marketing tool for the businesses that participate. So we've got filming supposed to start last week until Mother Nature took over. And change our plans. So next week we'll probably be starting our exterior filming.
It looks like weather, although nice right now, is not looking so bueno next week.
I know. Well, that's fine because the rut's coming, so it's fine with me. But, yeah, so we're working on that. And then once we get into the winter months, they'll start doing the interviews with, you know, the right employees that can speak to the processes and operations of the company as well. As hopefully identifying employees that might be from the area, and they can explain the route that they took to get into that field, whether they're just out of high school or trade school, or they've been in there for 30 years, started out in the mailroom, and now they're on a supervisory role. So that's something Erin's really run with, and I'm happy to see the progress that she's making. That'll probably roll out in 2021. Objective five, nothing really new or out of the ordinary on the marketing communication side to report. Erin's doing a wonderful job with that, and that's sort of her forte. So if any questions about that, you could email her. And then nothing really new to report on the membership. We've got renewals coming in, and pleased to say they're coming in steadily. had any surprises there.
And you want to touch on just a little bit like that option? You said that was bought from member member dues. So
yeah.
Kind of how that works with the city, county, of course, putting some money in, but there's additional funds you use for other items outside of that.
Yeah, I don't think that operational funds or tax dollars are really appropriately spent on speculative activity. We have these member funds that come in, and the board decided that was a good use of those funds. So the way an option works, if you're not familiar, we identify the parcel of property, work out a basically a purchase agreement, but it's an option to exercise that agreement within a certain window of time. The purchase price of that property is established, and for X number of dollars, I think we paid $3,500 for one and around $1,700 for another because it's two different landowners. We have the right to exercise that option within a time frame. The intention on that is not engage or the city or the county actually exercising that option and buying that ground. It's if we have a company that comes in, we could show them that we have this ground secured, and if they're going to move forward, we have it written that we could assign that option over to them. So we're not going out and buying ground. We're just buying that seat at the table for the companies we're working with.
Any questions for Trevor?
What about the old Shopko building?
That was a hot topic a couple weeks ago. It sounds like there's a lease arrangement on file with the city clerk's office, and it's public record, so you're welcome to call and ask for that.
That was the stands there for a while, seeing who was going to get out, stand was going to get out in front of the other.
I just stayed out of it. We didn't have anything to do with that. The company that's going there, I do see some history of some correspondence with them prior to my arrival. But that's the extent of it. It sounds like it's a win for Beatrice one way or the other. So,
another business in town, at least. Something on the east side again.
That's nice to see.
Anything else? All right. Thank you, Trevor.
Yep, thanks,
we
guys.
Appreciate it. We will move on to Nicole's. I'm sorry.
Gary's usually on the ball.
Oh, do you have something, Gary?
Or do you want to place that on file?
That'd be great.
I'll make second. That motion.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. They said the director's report on file. Please vote. 7 in favor.
Thanks, Don.
You're welcome. You're usually ahead of me.
Well, I dropped that one completely, too. Yeah, usually you stop me as I go on to something else.
I was paying attention to Juergens over there talking.
We'll move on to Nicole Stoner, the extension educator, for her presentation of the extension update.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. Oh, this is going to sound terrible.
There you go. I'm just feet away.
So, I just wanted to come give you an update of what's going on in our office. We've got a few things coming up. JC's got some stuff. Her 4-H achievement program is this Sunday, but they're kind of doing it a little differently with COVID and everything. She had it approved through the university. We have to submit approvals for anything larger than 50, and she had it approved, and then they came back and said, yeah, now COVID numbers are going back up. So she is doing more of like a scavenger hunt with it, and then they're going to broadcast it, I think, through Quibi. So that will be a little different, but we're hoping that we get a good turnout for that. So that's this Sunday. I've got a couple library programs that I've got planned. November 12th, that's next Thursday, talking about household invaders. And then December 10th, planning your garden. So those are going to be live in person. Hopefully we can get a few there. We're going to obviously social distance, wear masks and all of that good stuff. So and then afterwards I may do a version online as well. And then JC is planning for 4-H club leader training, on December 6th. Hopefully that can go as well. So, sorry, you looked like you had a question.
JC's also, serving on the Chamber of Commerce now. Is that right? She become a board member?
She didn't tell me that, but she might be.
Maybe she's shadowing someone. She was at a chamber meeting the other day, and I thought maybe she was going to be sitting in on the board.
I don't know. That would be, yeah, I can.
She may have been hanging out.
She may, she does, she, I know she's on like the school board in Fairbury, and so she does some of that kind of stuff. She might have just been working with them on some stuff. I'm not sure.
There have been some good articles. There's a good article in the paper that she did.
Pretty yeah.
good. And it's JC, not Jackie.
Yeah, JC.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta
yep.
keep it straight.
That's all right. So we've been busy, even though we are still working part-time from home. So we're trying to keep just one educator in at a time to hopefully, if we were to get it in the office, it doesn't spread through all of us, right? So we are keeping busy. I finished up Yard and Garden. We did two fall ones this year, so we had a good season there. I think we're going to hopefully continue those fall ones next year. But I had 263 callers from 66 Nebraska and Kansas towns, so it was a pretty good show this year. And I've been doing online programming for Master Gardeners as well as just the general public, trying to reach them, you know, and still be able to teach with maintaining COVID guidelines and everything. So the Master Gardener program will be taught online this next year, but we are planning for in-person pesticide training. So hopefully that, as long as we can keep the numbers down, we're planning for that. It will be reduced numbers for commercial training. So Tara, before she left for her maternity leave, her and I worked on getting a donation garden going at Paddock Lanes this year. And so it was a raised bed that we started last year with the school, and with COVID, we didn't get to do all the education we wanted to with the youth, but we did end up donating 144 pounds of produce to the Beatrice Community Food Bank. So not bad for a first time of really, because we did it last year, but it wasn't a donation garden or anything. So I didn't think that was too bad. So, and the other schools are interested as well. So we might be expanding those raised beds to the other schools, doing more education with the youth and donating more. So that's really good. So Tara's getting back on her feet after her maternity leave and working with her. She's been doing her news column. I think she even managed to get those posted when she was on maternity leave. She wrote ahead of time. And then she's doing some nutrition programming online for helping to eat healthy and things like that. And then she's also working with this coalition, a local food coalition serving Gage, Jefferson, and Saline counties. So that is getting going as well. And then for 4-H, we had 358 youth enrolled in the Gage County 4-H program this last year and had 73 direct adult volunteers. So those were all like the mostly leaders, club leaders. And then I talked about the achievement program. She had 80 youth submit their career portfolios and the achievement applications, which is basically just like a compilation of what they did this year in 4-H. And so they do that every year. And then if they want it to, it can go to state. And then that book then decides if they get to go to I don't remember what it's called, the bigger program that they have every year in November. And so from the whole United States, all like a couple kids get picked to do that. So sorry, I don't remember what it's called. And then,
had good luck with that, though, with kids, local kids going
usually we get at
nationals,
least,
for lack of a better term.
Usually we get at least one or two, I think. So it's pretty good to say that we can do that most every year. So. And then November is National Entrepreneurship Month. And so her JC's team is providing free resources and activities for fourth grade classes. And I am all fourth grade teachers in Gage County will receive a classroom bundle so that they can work with this entrepreneurship in their classrooms. So we've been pretty busy. But also, I wanted to introduce... So Nathan Mueller has been with Saline County Extension since January? Mm-hmm. January, and he is the ag educator that covers Gage County. And so I asked him to come in and talk with you guys just so you guys get a face to him, and he's the one would be doing all of our ag programming. So I'll have him. Okay. He's got some updates for you.
Thanks. I'd say set of handouts here. So my name is Nathan Mueller, originally from Washington County, north of Fremont, grew up on a dairy farm and became an agronomist because I grew up on a dairy farm. So most people who work on a dairy farm get that joke. So I started in January. Randy Pryor retired, and he finished up his last project actually in March with the Soil Health Conference that we had in Hickman. So started in January, which was a really busy time. If you're a producer, you know that most of the programs are during the winter months for programming. So I had 33 programs and 1,900 people at Extension programs January through mid-March across here in eastern Nebraska. So pretty good numbers. COVID hit. So in terms of what going on, in terms of programs, so we did have some programs canceled. We're re-getting those started. We're actually going to have pesticide training here starting in December for those folks that weren't able to recertify earlier this year. And that's one of my roles as cropping systems. And we'll talk about beef real quick. But I cover crops or agronomy for Jefferson, Saline, and Gage County. What you have in front of you, one is a heat map, is just customer calls. People that call me, email me, walk in to any of the extension offices and have a question. You can see most of the calls of about 500 folks since I started. And that's since March is when I start tracking who calls, from where, what question. And it's also an informal needs assessment, right? When I start getting the same question over and over again, that's something to write about or something to have a program on. So most of the calls do come in Saline County. Next is Gage. Currently in Nebraska Extension, we're going to be short of 7 cropping systems or agronomists statewide. So I'm currently covering Lancaster as interim. And then my former position up in Dodge and Washington County is vacant. So that's why you still see some numbers coming from there. Because guess what? The farmers already have my cell phone number. They already know I'll probably have the answer. So they continue to call me until we get those positions filled. So university isn't in a hiring freeze. It's in a hiring slowdown is probably the best way to look at it. So they're continuing to prioritize what jobs are filled in Nebraska Extension. Over the next 3 years, at least in Nebraska Extension, there is going to be a cut of about $1.3 million to Extension education positions statewide. And that would be both specialists and educators across the state. So they'll continue to prioritize those positions. So I think for Saline, Jefferson, and Gage County, it was good timing for me to move down here because that solidified that you had somebody. Some other counties may not be as fortunate, and we'll see how that moves forward. The other handout that I have for you is essentially an annual report. I still have some programs that I would add to that or update. One thing I wanted to highlight, the first one is just a little bit about me. You can go to the website is kind of the second block on that handout, which is croptechcafe.org. That's my regional agronomy website. Instead of managing 3 different county extension websites, it's much easier to have one and then draw everybody or push everybody from those 3 websites to that one. So if you're a producer, if you're a stakeholder interested in agronomy, that's where you'll go about hear about programs, what I have for information to share. So I had 2,500 people in Nebraska already visit that website this year across. So next over there for programs, we will have the Wilbur Crop Clinic. I'm also on the Ag Council for the Beatrice Chamber, so I am working with the group on the Ag Expo, and I'll have actually pesticide trainings as a part of the Ag Expo. We did this last year and this coming year, as well as a speaker from University of Nebraska. So several things there on the bottom. You can sign up to get my information on a weekly basis. I'm actually working with Tara to get my same news columns that Randy was essentially sending out in Saline and Jefferson and get that added to Gage County. That wasn't done before, so we're going to get that going. It's no extra work for me, and it's additional reach. Then on the back, just some new things going on. Probably one thing to highlight is I did start a new multi-county advisory group for agronomy or extension programming. So I have a list of the people who are on that group, essentially 11 individuals, both from private industry, independent crop consultants, producers, peoples on corn, soybean, and wheat board. Our makeup of that group, and we actually had a needs assessment earlier in September before harvest started about what were the problems, what were the issues in 2020, how can Nebraska Extension help, how can we fill that gap to go along or complement what private industry is doing. So we had that discussion. So I do have that started, and we're going to meet again in March. And so that's one way to kind of tie the 3 counties together. I serve Dodge and Washington. I think there was always the perception wherever that educator's located, that's their county. Nebraska Extension actually made a switch in 2015 that we serve multiple counties in a specific area. So that education and outreach of our customers is still ongoing, I think. So I always tell producers I serve Gage, Jefferson, and Saline. I just don't serve Saline. That's where my physical office is located, as well as my home office, which is south side of Lincoln, actually here, more so than I'd like over the past couple months being new. So. With that,
well, your wife's family farms in Saline County. So
yeah, not farms. They used to.
Gage County.
Yes, yeah. So they used to farm in Saline County. My wife also works for Nebraska Extension. She's the statewide education coordinator for disasters. So when the floods of 2019 hit, she's very busy. And then when COVID hit, she was very busy here again with policies and procedures. So she works out of us, actually out of East Campus in Lincoln.
Chamber Ag Expo.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that? The numbers have been so poor on that. Last year they were a little bit better with the training.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of student traffic that's showing numbers are higher, even though it's just SCC students.
Yep.
Is there any way to make that a more viable?
Yeah.
Expo.
I think there's definitely an opportunity to grow that. I was in charge of the Fremont Corn Expo, which is led by Nebraska Extension, not by the chamber, but I worked with the Fremont Chamber. And we had about 50 exhibitors and about 350 people attend that program the past couple years. So I think there's an opportunity. I think their new educational space they're building that I'm going to be utilizing for programs, which is going to be great, will definitely help. And then a concerted effort. I think in the transfer and whatnot, like my email listserv is 777 individuals across the three counties. So I think one would be to increase the scope, that it's not necessary just for Gage County, but it's for the broader economic region and for producers. So high tide floats all boats. And so I think hopefully they're trying to make some changes, and we've discussed those, and we can increase those numbers and attendance moving forward.
Mr. Juergens?
Off the wall. What's
yes.
your opinion on cover crops?
Yes.
That's all I need to know. I'm going back through the years.
It's complicated,
here.
But yes.
Going back through the years here, Paul Hay was instrumental in a thing called no-till.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Gage County was way ahead
yep.
of other counties by far, simply because of him. I think this is the next thing mm-hmm. down the road, and it just seemed to me, since Paul left, there hasn't been a lot of farm education, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
in Gage County.
Sure.
Some of that cover crop looks pretty straggly, but
we could use the moisture that's hopefully coming here the beginning of the next week. But in terms of the cover crop, we had a really good turnout at the Soil Health Conference, which is kind of morphed
yeah.
from that no-till
yeah.
conference, from my understanding in the past. Hickman is where we host that. We move it locations. Gary Leswing, who covers southeast counties as well, is a part of that effort. It was packed. We had over 200 people there. One of my colleagues because I was a previously a professor at South Dakota, so we had Dwayne Beck come down from South Dakota as well, so it was good to see him. But it was a great turnout, and hopefully we'll have more opportunities like that
yeah.
in the future, not just once a year, but hopefully some more summer opportunities for producers to do.
I think down the road for soil health and everything else, that's the next big thing.
Another thing that's coming up that we had in Beatrice actually this past February is the On-Farm Research Network. So we have educators across the state that work with producers to compare something that they want to on their farm, on their fields, their soils, their equipment side by side. Cover crops is an opportunity for farmers to look at that on their own farm. It's always more work, right? But it's always better than comparing apples to oranges from one farm, how it did compared to a farm 10 miles away. So
that's a comment we get a lot from the county, though, is we don't have the ag assistants in Gage County mm-hmm. anymore. How do people get a hold of you directly?
Yep.
If they call the extension
mm-hmm.
office, do they
yep.
steer people to you right away? Or?
Yeah, so I actually have a Google Voice number that I have for all three counties. So it's 821-1722, and that's the best way to reach me. Being south side of Lincoln, it takes me just as long to drive down to Beatrice as it does over to Wilbur. And I was excited to move down the area. I did a lot of my PhD work actually in northeast and in north central Kansas when I was down there. So I guess from my perspective, I think it's, again, somewhat of a perception, but it probably was somewhat of a problem because when you have somebody that's been here for so long, like Paul and Randy both. I wouldn't say it's possibly a good thing having someone new that covers all three counties just because they're like, oh, Paul's gone, Randy's gone, who's the new guy? And so I hope Gage County feels that they aren't being left out, because that's definitely not the case.
I was going to mention that your crop watch, we have a link to that, or your crop.
The webpage.
Yeah, the webpage. Yep. We link to that from our Gage County page. So, I mean, we're...
Yeah,
the website will be really good. I know Terry's on the cutting edge of technology at all times, but still that phone call and that voice with our local farmers, yep. I think is what they were looking for. You're right. Paul was there for so many years.
Yeah.
People all knew to get a hold of him right away, and he knew the piece of property and who he was talking to.
Yep.
That's going to be tough for you, but I'm glad you're here today to introduce yourself and let us know you're here.
Yeah, and if you have any concerns or questions as they come up, don't sit on it for 6 months or a year. Give me a call. Let me know. And that was one of the things for the advisory group, too. So if you don't feel comfortable contacting me, you can look on my website and contact one of those folks on the advisory group. And that's a sounding board. And I strategically pick some of those people out based on feedback and other people in the community who needs to be on this group. So I think it's a pretty strong group on that advisory group.
We need
group.
Real information. We call Nicole.
Sounds good.
Not farming. I'm going to send you straight to Nathan.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning and getting to meet all of you. Feel free to call me or chat some other time. So,
as with anything in extension, if you ever have any thoughts of, hey, this would be a really good thing for us to learn mm-hmm. about, could one of you guys do a program, just call us. We'll do programs on it, you know. We just need to know what you want, and we're glad to do that.
All right. Any other questions?
I did want to mention real quick, I think hopefully this next week we're going to try to get that job description up and get that open. So I'll work with you on that, Don.
Okay.
Good deal. Thank you much, Nicole.
Thank you for letting me refill it.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Nicole. Nice meeting you. Nice meeting Nathan. With that, I'd ask for a motion to put... Okay, with that, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:41 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn, to go into closed session at 9:41 on the clock, necessary for the protection of the public interest for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. This will be for contract negotiations. Action will be as per the next line item when we come out. Please vote. Six in favor with Bauman voting no, or Bauman abstaining.
What? No, I voted no.
Six in favor with Bauman voting no. We're in closed session.
Some things never change.
Oh, okay. Yep. I have a motion to come out of closed session at 10:08 on the clock.
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Dorn. Please vote. Seven in favor.
Oh, Bauman wanted to come
slow
out.
On the trigger. Yeah, I was going to say.
Slow there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Up next, approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Fraternal Order of Police, local number 45, effective July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2023.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman.
He's on it, man.
Second by Lytle.
I do have one question. I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier, but it has been ratified on their side, right?
They did vote and approve it as of
Monday night.
All right.
Sounds good. That was the email I got from Pigsley.
Any additional discussion? Please vote. Seven in favor. We have a contract again.
Do you have any numbers you want to put out there, or you want to wait?
For the contract? It'll be a 3-year agreement. Some wage increases as presented in the.
You can tell Terry's done ours.
I don't even know what you call
yes.
that.
Yeah.
The wage scale that's in the contract. Year two, it'll increase by 1.5%. Year three, an additional 2%. Those updates, those increases start July 1st each consecutive year, but we do have a three-year agreement in place. All other benefits stay relatively the same or were agreed upon, just slight changes. Anything else for the good of the order?
Move to adjourn.
I have a motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn to adjourn at 10:10 on the clock. Please vote. Six in favor, with Bauman voting no. Motion carries. We are adjourned. See you, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Uh-oh.
Terry, bring your laptop.
Hey, Terry.